الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم I'm sure many of our brothers would have thought that we will not be sitting today. And normally, if we would not sit, some of the brothers will send us information that we will not sit. And last week was one exception in recent times. So may Allah forgive us. Every person falls ill. This morning, someone sent a message that Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, he sent a message today that he had a surgery. He had surgery regarding his urinary area. So that the surgery was successful. That was this morning. When I saw it, I just smiled. Everybody falls ill. Every person falls ill. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on an occasion he fell from a horse. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he even fell from the beast of burden, he fell into the roots of palm trees. So he got injured by his left feet. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith of Anas, Aisha, Jabir, they all reported. To the extent he could not come to the masjid to pass salah. And when he prayed inside the house, he could not pray standing. He prayed sitting down. And you remember when the companions came, radiallahu anhu, they were standing and he told them to... Do you remember this hadith? That was the Prophet Muhammad. He fell from the beast of burden, alayhi salam. He got injured by his feet. Today, if it happens to a learned person, we all know, they will say it is because he's unrighteous. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِسْلُ I'm just a man like you. The things that affect you affect me. I get hungry as you get hungry. I marry as you marry. I drink as you drink. I'm a man like you. I sleep, you sleep. I forget, you forget. Some people say it is embarrassing to say the Messenger forgot. I never said that. As we read today in the hadith of Ziyadin, inshallah. Some people, some of ulama say, no, don't say the Messenger forgot. But he forgot, I never said that. He forgot in a salah of 4 rak'ahs, he made it 2 rak'ahs. And the eminent companions were there, Abu Bakr and Siddiq, Omar, in esteem for him. They could not ask him what was happening. They were just watching. Until Zulyadin stood up and said, Messenger of Allah, has the salah reduced or you forgot? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, none of that occurred. He said, okay, then you pray 2 rak'ahs. So he asked the rest of the people, what Zulyadin is saying, is it correct? I saw that for Zulyadin. They say, yes, you make 2 rak'ahs. There are some people, the ulama refer to as Sara'anunna. Those who, when they make taslim, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, they have issues that take them away from the salah. They go out of the masjid after taslim, salamu alaikum, salamu alaikum. They had gone and they were saying that salah had been reduced to 2 rak'ahs. The point here is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also exposed to what is exposed, what human beings are exposed to in day-to-day life. So there is no abuse in it. There is no irreligiosity in it. If there is anything, it is religiosity. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, is a man who, whenever you touch him, you feel hotness on his head. Mu'adh. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he is a'lamu al-ummati bil-halal wal-haram. The one who best knows halal and haram in this ummah, Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Abdurrahman. So, one day when the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that the headache burns away sin. So I pray to Allah to give me the headache. Let it be healed, fever. Let it be burning away my own sin, so that I will meet him on the day of Qiyamah, I don't have anything. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu needs such that in his life, he is always having heat with him, fever. The feverish hotness that we feel, he has it every day, you find him, Mu'adh, after that incident. Likewise, Ubay ibn Ka'b. These are religious people. Radiallahu anhum. Allah guaranteed them al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhum. Yes, they still have fever. They have headache. These things do not, they are things that happen to every human. May Allah forgive us. With every opportunity, we must try to correct people's misrepresentation of issues. Because issues are widely misrepresented these days. A lot of issues. And almost everything you see, you need to clarify. In almost every issue. So may Allah make things easy for us. May Allah forgive all of us. We will continue from Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah. You can say Babun Mata Tabtulu Salah. The Listi'naf chapter. When does the Salah of an individual become void? You can also say Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah bil Ibaq. The chapter of the time or the conditions that the individual's Salah becomes invalid. Akoli oro lori bawo ni ni eyan mo nbaje. Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah. Or Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah. But the first Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah is better. Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah bil Ibaqa. The chapter of the time that the Salah of an individual becomes invalid. As-Salah here is not every Salah, Salah of the individual. Because that one person's Salah becomes invalid, it does not mean that everybody's Salah is invalid. If the Imam leaves certain Salah and leaves even the Imam, he needs to visit the lavatory and then he goes away. It does not mean that the rest of us, our Salawat, are now invalid. تبتل الصلاة يعني صلاة الرجل صلاة المرء متى تبتل الصلاة when does a person's salah become invalid? This is the issue. These are the issues we want to discuss today. وَأَمَّنْ تَسْكُتْ وَأَمَّنْ تَسْكُتْ and upon whom does the salah become left out? Amman. Regarding whom does the salah become a left issue? That is, who is it that we leave him not to pray? We may leave the individual not to pray. Who is that person? Amman taskutu salah. Who are those that may not observe the salah? For whom, in their case, the salah is left for them. Like the person who falls unconscious. Taskutu alayhi salam. You not say, stand up, praise the Lord. He does not even hear your stand up. So taskutu alayhi aw anhu salam. Taskutu anhu salam. This kind of an individual, his salah is left. And when he wakes up, he will not perform that salah again. You say, I pay it back. No, there is no paying back. So we discuss these two issues. But we start with the first one. Babu Mata Tabtulu Salah. When does an individual's salah become invalid. Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah in Ad-Durur al-Bahiyya, he said rahimahullah, Babu mata tabqi salah. The chapter about when an individual's salah becomes invalid. He says, وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ وَبِالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِمَا لَيْسَ مِنْهَا وَبِتَرْكِ شَرْطٍ أَوْ رُكْنٍ عَمْدًا. He says, وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ وَبِالْإِشْتِغَالِ بِمَا لَيْسَ مِنْهَا وبترك شرط أو ركن عمدا. وتبطل الصلاة بالكلام وبالاشتغال بما ليس منها وبترك شرط أو ركن عمدا. سيد رحمه الله, وتبطل الصلاة بالكلام. Salah becomes invalid through speech or by speech. When an individual speaks in Salah, Salah becomes invalid. You can begin to ask, if he says Allahu Akbar, his speech, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin, his talk, it is something that he spoke. So what it means that bil kalam is kalamun nas. Kalamun nas. People talk. Like saying, Rakamelo Natiki. Someone comes into the masjid. People are praying. Hey, yo, Rakamelo Natiki. The Muslims used to be like that. Radiallahu anhu. It used to be like that. Salat was like that before. We'll come back to it. The companion said, radiallahu anhu, we used to say taslim to the Prophet Muhammad, or who was his salah. While he was on the salah, he said, salamu alaykum, wa kana yarujju alayna, aw ilayna. He would say, wa alaykum as-salam, and he's in salah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before, we come back to it. So if the person comes to the answer, in fact, they said, we used to discuss about Abaki and Tahariyahu, doctor, and they are on salah. So these are the kinds of salah that if it, these are the kinds of speech that if a person says them, bafalat salat. His salah becomes a kalamun nas. So the other one asking, hey, Joshua, I'm not sitting left in Shadi. The brother was praying. The boss left the store before the apprentice. So he came, the apprentice came and joined him in the salah. So he says, say anti bishab. This kind of a speech is the speech that makes the individual's salah to become what? Void. Subtle salah. Salah becomes invalid if a person behaves like that. So this is the kalam that Imam Shawkani means. It does not mean the kalam, every kalam that you say in salah. It means kalamun nas. We'll come back to it. But always like that people understand what we want to say before we begin to discuss it. Kalamun nas. Speak people give to themselves. Somebody can see somebody performing salah. Say, ah, I like your jalabia. If a person talks like this, batalat salat. Salah is invalid. Salah is invalid. Ummahat. One of them places water on the fire and she's on salah. She forgot to. Then she remembers, Umu, Mubu Mikana Yomahu, Bakalat Salah to her. Her salah is invalid. So that's why Imam Shawkani said, Rahimahullah, Watabtulu Salatu Bil Kalam. The salah of an individual becomes invalid when the person speaks and talks to people. Becomes invalid. There is something that happens to students when we are younger than this. We experience it. You may be solving a mathematical issue. And you are in salah, you just remember A square for BS. You start talking like Bafalat Salah to Ahmad Raja. This individual that does like this. It's Salah Batil. But we will discuss this issue under three issues. Three topics are under this issue on how speech voids the Salah of a person. There are three issues under it. Because there are three kinds of person, or four. But Kulab speaks to three, so that it will be easy for us to grab. It says, وَتَبْتُلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ. Salah becomes invalid when a person speaks. The one who knows that it is wrong. The one who knows that it is wrong. And yet, he did not forget. And he speaks in Salah. That is the person that his Salah is invalid. So we have three people, or four. We have three or four. The first person is the person who knows. Al-alimu bil-hukm. He knows the ruling. In Yisra al-Luri, in Ummah. And he's not forgetful. Lam yakun nasiya. He didn't forget. And he's not a jahil because he said he knows. He did not forget. This person, ulama refer to him as amid, somebody who deliberately does something. He deliberately talks in Salah. This is the person that his Salah becomes invalid when he talks. If a person is jahil or naqi, jahil, until Ummah, Dajjal, may Allah protect us. He does not know that when you speak in Salah, the Salah is invalid. Don't be surprised. Let me quickly give us the study. A companion came to the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad. And they were praying. In his salah, he said, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan. Wa la tarham ba'dana ahadan. O Allah, show your mercy on me and Muhammad. After the two of us, don't show mercy to any other person. The Prophet Muhammad says, فَقَدْ حَجَّزْتَ وَاسِعًا. You have reduced something that is wide. What is it that is wide? Allah's mercy. You have cut it short. This man is Arabi. He's a Bedouin. He didn't know. He's not living with them. He does not know the ruling. So you tell yourself, this Prophet, I like him. Allah, show mercy on me and him. After the two of us, don't show mercy on any of that. After the Salah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu said to him, you have cut short what is right. For you to now know that he did not know anything. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who reported this hadith, he says, فَلَمْ يَلْبَسْ حَتَّى بَالَ فِي نَاحِيَةٍ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. He did not stay long until the man went and urinated in a part of the masjid. Do you remember this hadith now? That was the starting of the story. The companion had come and prayed like that. And then after the Salah, when he was in Salah, he was saying that, oh Allah, show mercy on me and Muhammad. After the two of us, close the door of mercy. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Salah, he stopped. So don't restrict what is wide. What is open, don't bring it short. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left him. If it were, we would be fighting and beating him. We'll come back to 82. A seaman kawalara devotee atiboti along that. You want to correct? He does not know. And then the man went to urinate in a part of the masjid. He thought, many of us will go and pick sticks to beat him. And when the companions were shouting, telling him, stop, stop, hey. The Prophet says, leave him. The way I said, the man finished the urine. He left. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسْتَرِينَ إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُمْ مُيَسْتِرِينَ. You have been raised as people who will make things easy for you. Not مُعَسْتِرِينَ. Not people who make things difficult for people. Make it easy for you. Urinate in the masjid. This goes to explain that the man did not know the ruling. Otherwise, he wouldn't really urinate. But he has spoken in his salah. So if a person speaks in salah, and is not a person who has knowledge, we'll come back to another. There's a second hadith. Stronger than this first one. He has some knowledge, but he does not know that speaking Ganga is wrong. That is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulam from Banu Sulaym. Someone sneezed. As we are mentioning it, we may not come back to it because of time. They were on Salah. In the report of Al-Imam Abu Dawud, the first hadith we read regarding this companion is a hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and others in their books of hadith. The hadith of the companion who urinated in the masjid is a widely reported hadith. It's also called in Sunan Abu Dawud. I'm saying it now because we may not need to come back to it again. We're already discussing a person who does not know the ruling and then he talks in Salah. His Salah is not dictated. So before you start hearing, if I say someone really knows then after Salah, find out whether he knows it. Find out whether he knows it. It is wrong to speak during Salah. Say, I don't know. He now knows. Don't speak when you are in Salah again. Whether that Salah is Fard or not in Salah. Don't speak when you are in Salah. You teach the person. Like the Prophet taught them. Alayhi salam. The second hadith regarding that, like we said, is the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulam. We'll come back to this hadith. He didn't also know the way. Somebody sneezed in the masjid and said, Alhamdulillah. He said what the Prophet taught me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that if I sneeze, I should say Alhamdulillah. And that if somebody sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, I should tell the person, Yarhamukallah. Did he tell him that he should not say that during Salah? So he took it to mean that even during Salah, you can tell somebody Yarhamukallah. So somebody sneezed during Salah and said Alhamdulillah. Please know it, it is part of Sunnah. If you sneeze in Salah, you can say Alhamdulillah. From the proof is this hadith of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam. And hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. So nobody will argue it for authenticity. Say about Sinuri, you know, Ayyani Saqi Alhamdulillah. So when the man sneezed during Salah and said Alhamdulillah, Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami said to him, Yarhamukallah. So every people started looking at him. During Salah. So he told them, all of you, leave me alone. Although what he said would mean that my mother has lost me. That was the expression that he used. We will come back to this hadith. Because there's a second issue connected to it. So when he made that statement, he started telling people, face your Salah, leave me alone. And he's on Salah. After the Salah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, this companion said, we'll come back to this. We'll come back to what he said about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the point here is, this companion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did not tell him to repeat the Salah. And then he was like, go down on him. Because when he spoke to the Salah, he did not know that speaking is wrong. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Inna hadhihi salah, this salah, la yasluhu fiha shay'un min kalamina. In another report, it says, La yahillu, it is not lawful, shay'un min kalamina fiha. Nothing of the speech of people, or Arawinian, normal speech, is lawful in salah. So this makes us understand that yes, speaking in salah is unlawful. That is the first ruling we see from this statement. Go. It says, Inna hadhihi salah. This salah, la yasluhu fiha shay'un min kalamina. It is not appropriate that inside that salah we speak as the talk of people. As people talk, it's not allowed. So the first thing we pick from this hadith of Muawiyah again is our main issue. Go. That it is not lawful for people to do what? To speak. But the second ruling to that is that the Prophet did not tell him, oh yeah, repeat yourself. Like he did not tell the one who you related in the masjid. Ah, only me and you, oh yeah, repeat your salah. He did not say that. Why? Because the people did not know at that time. So if a person performs salah, pay a bank hero, pay that store, lay on. Ti o ma wi pe a ki soro lori eran o ni o ma so pe temi nu because of that ti ba so lori ni ti ba je o lalaye lalaye who is it that the solar of the solar will be void that is the person who does not know that the solar is void. Regarding the nasi ulama are a bit divided. The one who forget, he didn't know that, he forgot, he knows. He's not a jahil, but he forgot. Many of them say that the one who forgot will take the ruling of the one who does not know. At that time he had forgotten, he lost knowledge. So they join him with the one who does not know. How many do we have now? The one who knows and deliberately speaks. The one who does not know. The one who forgot. So two groups. The first group is the group of who? Amidi. They who deliberately do. They know it's wrong. Yes, they spoke in Salah. Their Salah is Batila. First group. Second group. They don't know at all. Or they knew but they forgot completely. These people, they have Salah. They have Salah. And there's a third group. We'll not go to the third group until we'll go back to the first group. So let's go to the first group. Somebody speaks in Salah deliberately. You say he does not have Salah, he does not have Salah. What is the proof that he does not have Salah? The first proof ulama mentioned, ijma, consensus. The first proof that the one who speaks in Salah, like Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, rahmahullah, he says, وَتَبْتِلُ الصَّلَاةُ بِالْكَلَامِ. Salah becomes invalid. An individual salah becomes invalid بِالْكَلَامِ by his speaking. The first proof of that is what? Ijma'ul ulama. The scholars have a consensus that whoever speaks in salah, بَقَلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. Al-Imam ibn al-Munzir in his book, Al-Awsat, recited this ijma. So that's ijma of ulama, that anyone, ijma, consensus, that anyone who speaks in salah, bafalat salat, his salah is invalid. When we say anyone, we know who we refer to. The one who knows the ruling, who did not forget the ruling. He knows the ruling, and he does not forget the ruling. And then he speaks in salah, bafalat salatuhu. The salah of the individual is null and void. If a person speaks in salah. Al-Imam ibn al-Munzir said, أَجْمَعَ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ عَامِدًا. The scholars, the people of knowledge, have a consensus. عَلَىٰ أَنَّ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. That whoever speaks during his salah, عَامِدًا لِكَلَامِهِ. Deliberately speaking, when he spoke, he knew what he was doing, that he was talking. وَهُوَ لَا يُرِيدُ إِصْلَاحَ شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِهَا. He does not intend to rectify anything in his salah. That is the third group that I said will come back. The one who speaks while trying to rectify something in salah. Imam is praying. He wants to stand up for the fifth rak'ah. He says, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He does not answer. Subhanallah, he does not answer. Or that he sits down, and then his mind tells him again, I'm on the third rak'ah. And then he stands up again. Or he makes two sajda. He wants to make a third one. Or he makes one sajda. And then once sits down, then suddenly they all have to stand up. You know, you have to make a second sajda. You start shouting, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He does not understand. Some of the ulama say you can tell him, As-sajda to Saniya, the second sajda. Abi is your language, Sujada al-Ekij, so that he can remember and then go for the second. This kind of a statement is a statement that was given li islahiha by way of bettering the salah, correcting the salah. So ulama are divided. If a person speaks like this, does he have salah or not? Imam Abu Aisha. If a person speaks like this in salah, does he have salah? It's a very serious issue. But we'll resolve it today, inshallah. So, what Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir is saying is that the consensus does not include this issue. Do you get this point? He says, Rahimahullah, Ajma'a Ahlul Ilmi, ala anna man takallama fi salatihi amidan li kalamihi, wa huwa la yuridu. He spoke in the condition that he deliberately spoke. He was not speaking by way of إصلاح شيء من أمرها. He did not intend to correct anything in that salah. أجمعوا, they have a consensus. أن صلاته فاسدة, they have a consensus that his salah is what? Null and void. Any person who deliberately speaks in salah, his salah is null and void. The exception is for who? The one who does not know the meaning. Or who? The one who knows but forgot the meaning. These people, they have that if they speak in salah. But the one who knows the ruling that it is wrong to speak during salah, if he speaks during salah, batalat salatuhu, his salah is null and void. And the first proof for that is the ijma of ulama, the consensus of scholars. Many scholars have mentioned this consensus. Amongst them, Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar in Fathul Bari, he mentions consensus. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentioned consensus. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi in Al-Jami Al-Ahkam Al-Quran, he mentioned consensus. Why do we say consensus and then we ascribe them to the scholars? So person said there's consensus. For two reasons. The first reason is that those who are capable of saying that a consensus on the matter are those who have authority to say that. Just like you can say, for the person say, I want to fire pastor. That looks like that. Who said that? You? It happens. Go to Masjid. I found that one. Can you say me? Somebody I want to fire, but not you. Authorities in the field. Somebody has Quran, engineer Quran, Quran certified mechanical engineer. And then one year three engineering student. An engineering discourse comes up. I say, oh, there's one engineer, it's that person. So they say, oh no, he said no, it's wrong to do that. So they ask me, who said that it's wrong? I say, no, I understand that now. If you read yourself, keep quiet. So then the Quran, you now say Quran should speak. But this matter is even more than being certified as Quran. Wallahi, when you compare those who have a say in the issues of ijma and khilaf, it's more than saying the person has Quran. A BSc holder has Quran. BSc has Quran. But these people, even though who have PhDs and professors, they don't have a say too. So why should somebody who is just soluble in reading books, if he has to say, afa lagbaja sokwe, the scholars say there is khilaf different, or the scholars say there is ittifaq, agreement. So you can now ask for that. Who said that? Because not every person who says there is ittifaq is his statement reliable. Amongst ulama themselves. Why? Because many times they would have found that person said that there is ittifaq and then they find that there is khilaf. I will mention this because ulama mentioned him. Al-Imam al-Nawawi. Most times when he says there is ittifaq, be careful. Find out other people who said there is ittifaq before you rely on his ittifaq. Al-Qawl al-ittifaq. Otherwise, you will say that there is ittifaq and somebody will say, who told you there is ittifaq? And then they give you a statement indicating khilaf, difference. These are the reasons why if we say there is a consensus on a matter, we'll be mentioning the authorities who have cited a consensus on the matter. Amongst them, like we said, Hafiz ibn Hajar, we know who he is. Al-Imam ibn Abdul Barr al-Namari, we know who he is. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, we know who he is. These are a'imma. They have a say to say there's consensus. People don't say, no, me, I disagree. It has happened before. One professor in one university, when some brothers were in the meeting, I wasn't there. I had graduated at it. So they say one of the scholars said that a hadith is weak. Specifically, Sheikh Lalvan, it is regarding Salatul Taraweesh. So the chairman of the Muslim community was listening to the students and they were discussing. So the students said, Sheikh Lalvan said that this hadith is authentic. Because he said, look, I'm the Imam of the mosque. This hadith is doing. One professor said, please, sir, please, I don't say that. This is not, he now mentioned his area of specialization. No, don't say that. So people should know their limits when it comes to matters of knowledge. Those who fail in these matters most are the elites. Awalakowe, Masum Boko, they fail in these matters so much. They think that because when they read halal and haram or Qardawi in English, they can now have a say. Wallahi, knowledge is more than that. Wallahi. Except somebody who has not smelled it. If you want to speak, you'll be thinking about it twice before you say what you say. So what do our allies think that some of them will say, I read Tafsir ibn Kathir. Which Tafsir ibn Kathir? Translated Tafsir ibn Kathir. We are the ones translating it. Our Santo Sayyid. Our Tashi or Rapal Kai. We will produce what you are reading. We can't say what you have said. Wallahi. We produce it. I reviewed the Sunan Nasai, Dar Salam publication in 6 volumes. I reviewed it A to Z. In Riyadh. Not here. I reviewed it. When I didn't finish, I brought the rest back to Nigeria. The English translation. Sunan Nasai, 6 volumes. I reviewed the second, the fourth, and the sixth volume of Sunan al-Tirmidhi. Translation, so correct. You are reviewing it. We can't say what you are saying. Because, yeah, this is only a time walk. May Allah protect us. Let every person know his limits and stop there. That is the person that is a honorable person. I said these days, everything we say needs clarification. That's why we went that far. May Allah protect us. So ulama say there is ittifaq, there is consensus that any person who knowingly speaks during salah, he knows the ruling that it is wrong to speak in salah. Yet he goes to speak in salah, but follows salah to him. His salah is invalid. But this ijma, because there are different kinds of ijma. There is ijma ul mustanad, and there is ijma ul ghayr mustanad. It's ijma that has proofs in Quran and Sunnah. And there is ijma that does not have proofs. The ulama, they just make a ruling, and each of them, they are all saying the same thing. They are all saying this. It happens. They will be saying the same thing. Although ulama say this second one is rare, but you can find it. Al-Ijma'u al-Mustanad and Al-Ijma'u al-Ghayru Mustanad. Ijma that has proof in Kitab and Sunnah and Ijma that do not have proof in Kitab and Sunnah. What is the implication of the two? The implication is that Ijma'u al-Mustanad, it is haram for a person to speak to be different from it. Haram. Sin. Some of them, if a person differs from them, he will become a kafir. May Allah protect. that is al ijma'ul mustanad. Some of them, if a person speaks something contrary to that, kafirin. So that is the importance of ijma'ul mustanad. This ijma we are fighting today is al ijma'ul mustanad. It's an ijma that has proofs where? In the Kitab of Allah, in the Book of Allah, the Quran, and where? In the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There are a number of ahadith. We cite two and proceed. The first hadith we cite in the hadith of Abdullah ibn, the hadith of Zayd ibn al-Arqam. Zayd ibn al-Arqam, I wanted to say ibn Mas'ud. We bring his whole second inshallah. Zayd ibn al-Arqam radiallahu anhu said, كُنَّا نَتَكَلَّمُ خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. We used to speak behind the Prophet Muhammad when we observe salah. He will lead us and we are speaking behind him. This hadith, there are some riwayat that does not have خَلْفَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. So some people say no, in their village, in Asiman Shebe. That was why I chose this wording of the hadith. He said, "Kunna nusalli khalfa Rasulillah." Kunita we. Kushayi. You can't give it an interpretation away from the fact that those salawah in which they were speaking was where? Behind the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kunna natakallamu khalfa Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam fi salah. We used to speak while we observe the salah behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. يُكَلِّمُ الرَّجُلَ صَاحِبَهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ يُكَلِّمُ الرَّجُلُ صَاحِبَهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ يُكَلِّمُ الرَّجُلُ صَاحِبَهُ إِلَى جَنْبِهِ. An individual will even speak to his friend by his side. In another riwayah, it says, يُكَلِّمُ أَحَدُنَا صَاحِبَهُ حَاجَتَهُ. Each of us will speak to his friend, حَاجَتَهُ, regarding what? His حَاجَة. Hafiz ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, because this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, what they used to say was just تَسْلِيمُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Things like this. Oh, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَام. During salam. He said, these are the kinds of things they say. Others amongst ulama say no. Hajatahu is mufradun mudaf. Ta'um. What it means that everything, we can say anything. It's not restricted to salam alone. The reason I mentioned it is that it is the first reference work for many of us. And he did not say that it's khilaf in that. That's why I mentioned it. So if you read Fathul Bari, you hear what Ibn Hajar said. Know that that is being from. Rahimahullah. Others amongst the ulama say hajatahu means they said anything to themselves that they wanted. It is not restricted to taslim alone. So they used to say anything they wanted. Hajata. Radiallahu anhu. Hatta nazalat wa kumu lillahi qanitin. We were like that. So we come to salah and say, Afa Umar Yari. Like that. After Jari Alayhi, oh brother, let's see after Salah. Or something like, oh, how was your paper? For those who write exams. How was your paper? How was your meeting? Tell you it was fine. We used to do that behind the Prophet Muhammad. Till Allah revealed, or till وَكُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ came down. Until it was sent down to us. وَكُومُ لِلَّهِ stand before Allah. Stand for Allah. Qanitin, in full concentration, paying good attention to salah. We described this statement a lot when we were discussing al-qiyamu fi salah. We remember this. So when this verse was revealed, the companion said, radiyallahu anhu, فَأُمِرْنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ. At the revelation of that verse, أُمِرْنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ. We are commanded to do what? Keep quiet. وَنُهِينَا عَنِ الْكَلَامِ. And we are prohibited from speaking. أُمِرْنَا بِالسُّكُوتِ. We are commanded to keep quiet. وَنُهِينَا Amada and El Kala, and we are prohibited from speaking. It came in two ways. You must not talk. Oh, this is Anahi and El Kala. Everybody keep silent. This is Al Amru bis Sukut. So we are given the key. We are told to keep silent. We are also prohibited from doing what? From speaking during Salah. There is a point of benefit here. It means that we are silent during Salah is something that is what? Emphasized. Make sure you are not talking during Salah. This hadith that we have read, it's occurred in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. It also occurred in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. This wording that I read is the wording of Imam al-Tirmidhi. If you read other wordings, you know the reason why I read this wording. Because it contains a lot of issues regarding which some people argue about. But the clear-cut report will explain their views. So they stop talking. This is one evidence that we must not speak during a Salah. The second proof we like to read about the prohibition of speaking in Salah. And that when we speak, the individual Salah becomes invalid. We must not speak during Salah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, كنا نسلم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو في الصلاة. We used to نسلم على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We used to make the تسليم to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام. السلام عليكم. During صلاة وهو في الصلاة صلى الله عليه وسلم. فيرد علينا. And the Prophet will answer السلام عليكم. عليكم السلام and يوم السلام. We used to do so رضي الله عنهم. فلما رجعنا من عند النجاشي, when we returned from Abyssinia, from Negus, you know Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he made the first and second hijrah to Abyssinia. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله, he made the first hijrah. There were 17 or so led by who? Uthman ibn Affan, to Abyssinia, to Africa here. Their influence is still felt there till today. In Abyssinia. Let's leave that. In fact, in the entirety of Eastern Africa, that breeze that came, because there's a city in Zanzibar that has graves in two directions. One of the sides was facing the old Qibla. The other one is facing the new Qibla. What does that tell you? It means that the Muslims have been living there before Allah changed the Qibla. I wrote an article on that. I have about 3 or 4 pages on this issue. So they have a lot of feelings. The area felt Islam. The area felt Islam. So, what people told them, your messenger has migrated, return. It was a fake news. But they wanted to return to the Messenger alayhi salam. So they returned. But they found out that it was a lie. So they had to go back again, this time with more people. Because more people had accepted Islam. So when they went back, it was at that time that they now heard about Hijra. Truly, they now came back. So by the time they came back, this is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said. If we have time more than this, I would have been saying some things here. But we don't have the time. Let's proceed. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's statement that فَلَمَّا رَجَعْنَا, it means الرُّجُوءُ الثَّانِ, the second coming back. And at that time it was to Medina. So when they returned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, سَلَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْنَا, we will be making taslim to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْنَا, but he will not answer us. I told Allah, we used to do that. Assalamu alaikum wa ya Rasulallah. Dumb, no rest. Because he's on salah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Falamma sallama. This expression, falamma sallama, it occurs in the riwayah of Al-Imam al-Nasa'i. Because this hadith occurs in Bukhari, Muslim, and other books of hadith. But because of the issue we are discussing, some people may think that the statement that happened between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened during Salah. That was why I have to go and look for the riwayah that mentions that, oh, the discussion that we will now hear was a discussion that happened when? After the salah. So you can read the riwayah without this. But it occurs, we say, the discussion he had with the Prophet was a discussion that occurred after the Prophet had ended his salah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, فَلَمَّا رَجَعْنَا مِنْ عِنْدِ النَّجَاشِ سَلَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْنَا. When we came back from Ethiopia, from Najus, we would say salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in salah. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْنَا. But he will not answer our taslim verbally. فَلَمَّا سَلَّمَ. When he ended that salah. وقلنا يا رسول الله. So we asked, O Messenger of Allah. كنا نسلم عليك في الصلاة. We used to make taslim on you while you are in salah. فترد علينا. And you would answer us. That is, so why are we saying taslim to you now during salah? And you are not responding. فقال إن في الصلاة شبلا. إن في الصلاة شبلا. This salah has things that get us dizzy away from speech. Inna fi salati shugla. Shugul. You get dizzy with the activities of salah away from any other thing that is not part of the salah. Inna fi salati shugla. In some riwayat, la shugla. You can see this, I think, in Bulugh al-Maram. Inna fi salati la shugla. This lam is lam of tawqid. Certainly in salah are things that keep us busy. We are busy in salah. So we do not answer to sleep during the salah. So ulama say that these are evidences. There are other ahadith, but like I said, we'll suffice with two and proceed. That if a person is performing salah and he knows the ruling of speaking during salah and he goes on to speak during salah, that salah is what? Because inna fi salati shugla, the adhkar of salah, the ruku'at, the sujood, and all of these, they keep us busy away from speech. That is what they must do. If they don't, then the individual doesn't have the salah. And Imam Abul Abbas al-Qurtubi, we recited him a number of times today. What is it, Qurtubi, Qurtubi? There are two of them popular. There is Abu al-Abbas, there is Abu Abdullah. Abu al-Abbas is Sahib al-Tafsir, al-Jami'u al-Ahkam al-Qur'an. He is Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi. The second one is Abu Abdullah al-Qurtubi. Ma'azirata. Sahib al-Tafsir, his name is what? Abu Abdullah al-Qurtubi. But al-Imam Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi, he wrote a sharh on Sahih Muslim called Al-Mufhim. Sharh Sahih Muslim. So, he is referred to as what? Abu al-Abbas. The one who wrote Tafsir is referred to as what? Abu Abdullah. So don't forget, if they say Abu al-Abbas, they mean Tafsir. They mean Al-Mufhim. They say Abu al-Abbas, Al-Mufhim. When they say Abu Abdullah, they mean Tafsir, the one who wrote it. This statement he wants to say to us is from Abu al-Abbas al-Qurtubi, the author of Al-Mufhim Sharh Sahih Muslim. He said, وَيُفْهَمُ مِنْهُ. It will also be understood from this hadith that إِنَّ فِي الصَّلَاةِ شُبْلَىٰ. The salah has things that get us busy. يُفْهَمُ مِنْهُ التَّفَرُّهُ لِلصَّلَىٰ. We will understand that from this hadith that we must be busy with salah, completely busy with salah. Min jami'il ashgal, away from anything that could keep us busy. Once we say Allahu Akbar, where is the entirety of our attention? It's salah. Every other thing that could keep the individual busy, we should keep it away from our mind. Everything, every other thing, in Jamil Ashgal, every other thing that could take our attention, we must leave them away. وَمِن جَمِيعِ الْمُشَوِّشَاتِ. And in every kind of distraction, we must take our minds away. Some people are in Salah, they are listening to football commentary. Their mind is in whether Arsenal has scored a goal or any other team that is playing football. This is wrong. Inna fi salati shubla aw la shubla. He is not busy with Salah, that's why he's thinking about the football. May Allah protect us. These are part of the sicknesses of our time. So when we preach like this, we must mention them. It's a sickness. May Allah protect Allah. Many young people are sick with these things now. They think that they are healthy. A sickness that makes a boy kill his sister. Is that healthy? That makes a man commit suicide. Is that healthy? When Infantino came to Nigeria, he said, you know who Infantino is? He said he knows that football is much more than a culture in Nigeria, that it's a religion. He knows what he's saying. It was in the news. I'm not saying something that you can't find it. We read a lot of things about everything. So it was in the news. So let the Muslim be reasonable. Inna fi salati la shugla. Salah has things that keep us busy away from those kinds of musha distraction. So the individual must bring his attention to Salah. Wal ikbalu ala Salah. We also, wa yufhamu minhu al ikbalu ala Salati. We also understand from that hadith that we must face our Salah. Bi zahirihi wa batinihi. With the entirety of our physical self. And with the entirety of what? Our attention, our mind inside us. Everything is in Salah. No mushawishat should we give any kind of attention. Do you know how sometimes shaitan brings tashwishat to people? Or mushawishat to people? You know how distractions shaitan brings them? The individual, you will see him, he will not yawn if he's discussing with people. But once he starts Salah, Allahu Akbar, you can be resting any. You just start yelling during Salah. Inna fi salati la shu. And this yawning is from Shaitan. At-tafa'ubu min ash-shaytan. It's from Shaitan. Imaya ishlumu ash-shaytan. Some people, during Salah, Allahu Akbar. You see that? They scratch the head. They scratch. Shaitan is scratching them now. They scratch. He's scratching the back. During Salah. But once he says, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum. He's calm. What do you say to them? Inna fi salati la shugla. Salah itself should get us busy. Not this. It is because their minds are there. You see them? Their hands are up. Then they got it down, then they put it on, they put it here. Because their attention is not in Salah. Inna fi salati la shugula. I'll cite one incident. Al-Imam al-Bukhari. People used to say, terrible him. Many tulab al-ilm don't even perform Salah like that. May Allah protect all of us. Allah alone knows how much attention we pay in our Salah. Allah alone knows. Once Al-Imam al-Bukhari was performing Salah. You know what? W-A-S-P got into his clothes. He was nawasil he was making. What does your people call it? Agma entered his clothes. Rahimahullah. It will bite him. 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 He was not shaking himself. Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari, he never shook in his Salah. How do you shake when you are in front of Rabbul Alameen? One of the reasons people get busy away from Salah is because they don't imagine that Allah is with them. And the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once we say Allahu Akbar, Allah is looking at you. If a person feels like it, wallahi, I tell you this. If you are in front of President Bukhari, see, I've never given a zero.
You say, I don't want, maybe you want to sign a contract. Once they sign it, you're about to say, but you don't know. So the president is reading it. He's reading the proposal or whatever. And you are standing in front of him. People will be beaten by wasps, they will not shake. You know why? They are saying that they shake, they say, Shele, don't know what. Is this why shaking like this that you give this contract? So they will not shake. What about Rabbul Bukhari? Everybody should fear Allah. Pay attention. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ So the point we have tried to establish here is that there are proofs that made ulama to have that consensus that if the person deliberately speaks in salah, 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 salahu, aw batalat salatihi. These are some of the proofs. We just mentioned that because it is connected to it. May Allah forgive all of us. So group one regarding speaking and salah. Those who do it deliberately, knowingly, they know the meaning, they know everything, yet they spoke during the salah. That salah is what? Batila. Fasida. Like we said, there's ijma, there are ahadith, there's verse of the Quran. That verse came to prohibit them from talking during salah. So somebody asked you, Afa, kill anything that is already on. Wa kumu lillahi. What's the beginning of that verse? Hafidu ala salawat. That verse is evidence that we must not talk in salah. It's also evidence that we must not be scratching ourselves during ummahat. Please take note. The second group we like to discuss. What about somebody who speaks? Before that, we said they used to say taslim to the Prophet Muhammad during salah. Let's quickly discuss that. If you look at those ahadith, he prohibited answering verbally. He did not prohibit saying taslim to somebody. He said he made taslim. He didn't say, don't make taslim to me again. He only said, don't speak to answer taslim. In the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his distant body making nawafil. You know it's allowed. Bil ijma. Al-Imam al-Nawawi mentioned it. That there is ijma that when you are, that it is allowed for the individual to observe salah, nafila, while on a beast of body. Lurin kan boy, yani ki nafila lurie. Udojiko kibla o. Udojiko kibla. This hadith, the hadith of Jabir, we wanted to mention, is an example. I didn't write it down to mention it, but it came to mind. Hadith is in Sahih Muslim, in other books of hadith. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me a message. When I came back, I met him on a beast of burden while walking. Beast of burden, and he was walking. The beast of burden was moving. He was on it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I said, assalamu alaykum. The hadith is also in Sahih Bukhari. He said, the Prophet did not answer me. Ha! I am making taslim. In Riwayah of Bukhari, he said, I felt that the Prophet was angry with me that I had delayed. So he felt uneasy. Assalamu alaikum. No answer. He said, my problem grew. The Prophet did not talk to me. Assalamu alaikum. The Prophet did not answer. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He only made ishara. The Jabir did not understand from the ishara that his own thinking was, subhanAllah, I'm in trouble. Musalama Kanabi, go down. So at the end of the salah, the Prophet said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what meant that? I only did not answer you because I was on salah. But it was said that as he was saying, assalamu alaikum, the Prophet was doing what? He was making ishara. That is Rabbi Salam. And then he did not prohibit him from not allowing a sentiment to him. Don't make a claim to a person that is praying. He didn't tell him that. So it means if a person is praying, you can say salamu alaikum to him. If a person is praying, what can we do? We can say assalamu alaikum to him. What is prohibited is that he should answer us and say, wa alaykum salam. That one is prohibited, bin ijma. But he can answer us bin ishara. It's a gesture. Let's read a clear cut hadith on it and proceed, inshallah. Because it is connected, we are saying the first taslim to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first taslim to it's connected to the issue. And that is the position of Jumhur al-Ulama. The large majority of ulama say we can say taslim to somebody and then he can respond. So the brother turns and says, assalamu alaikum, Abu Aisha, I think. And that's the way he will answer us. How will he answer us? You can be praying, your wife comes into the room and says, assalamu alaikum. There's a way to answer her. She can be praying, you come in and say, assalamu alaikum. There's a way she will answer you. How? You will hear it now. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Jazakallah khair. Now. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إلى قباء يصلي فيه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم went to قباء. Masjid قباء used to be in the outskirts of Medina. Today it is inside Medina. When I go there, I don't enter Mecca. Usually I trek. On Saturday is the sunnah of the Prophet. Usually on Saturdays, in the morning after Fajr, he will go and make salat 2 rak'at in Quba. It's equivalent to Umrah. The reward of making 2 rak'at in Quba. Umrah, in some reports, with him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Huge rewards. So usually I go trekking, although sometimes I go on this of God because you find a hadith that showed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rode when he went. So if you ride too, you are still following the sunnah. You should go by your feet, you are still following. It's very simple. In fact, that if you face the Qibla, our brothers who travel, I want to give you the code. If you face the Qibla in Masjid an-Nabawi, to your right, go out on the gate, the fence, the last fence, the bigger gate, not to the mosque. The gate outside, the last one on your right, that door is called Babu Quba. Go straight, it leads you to Quba. You won't turn left or right, straight to Quba. Straight. It will take you 35 minutes. On your feet, 35 minutes. Good walk, 25-20. But gentleman's walk, 35 minutes you are in Quba. Straight! That gate, come out from the gate, you see a roundabout in front of that place. Follow the roundabout, just go straight. You are not turning to anywhere. After the roundabout, you see the kind of traffic light you see in an area. You see there, under and overhead bridge. Don't climb any bridge, just go straight. It will lead you to Quba. Abdullah ibn Umar was the one who reported that hadith. So. He's the one who reported this one to, radiallahu anhu. He said, خرج رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قباء يصلي فيه. He went to Quba to pray. فجاءته الأنصار. So the Ansar came to him. فسلموا عليه. They made the taslim to him, صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهو يصلي. While he was observing his salah. فقلت لبلال. So I was asking Bilal, كيف رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يرد عليهم حين كانوا يسلمون عليه وهو يسلم. How did you find the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم answering their taslim when they were making taslim to him during his salah? قال ابن عمر said that Bilal said يقول هكذا. He will do like this. وبسط كفه. He stretched his palm. بسط كفه. وجعل بطنه أسفل. He made the inside of his palm, the place where he grabs, that has lines inside it, fairer the inside of our palm, he turned it down, asphalt. وَجَعْلَ ظَهْرَهُ He made the back of his palm that has our knuckles in our folk, up like this. So if you make the flame to north, pray. Assalamu alaikum, north. He will put his hands and answer. He has answered me, alaykum salam. Like this. That is how to answer quickly in salah. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It's an authentic hadith. He laid down salam alayhi and you go bullet. In Nuka, like this. That is Raddu Salam. His salah. Put the hands down and the knuckle side up. That was how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam responded to Tasleem. The last issue we like to discuss today is al-kalamu li maslahati salam. Have we spent an hour? We have spent it. More than that. And this issue, I think we take off 30 minutes. Let's stop here. Because there are issues around it. Can we speak during salah when imam is erring or we are erring or imam? Can imam talk to us? Charlie Soraluri, you know, lati correct, you know, lati tune, she. It's a big issue. Ulama are divided on it. And Imam Malik said we can speak. That is what is reported of him, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Mudawwana. Likewise, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal has a riwayah, we can speak. But others amongst the ulama say, oh no, we can't speak. We can't speak in salah. Amongst our times, the scholars too differ. Some say we can speak, some say we can't speak. So we'd have loved to investigate the matter. But I think we can stop here. We'll continue from there, inshallah, in our next class. Man takallama li maslahati salah. The one who speaks by way of correcting something in that salah. Can we speak? He is on salah. Can he speak while on salah to correct something? Inshallah, we'll continue from there. But a person who knowingly speaks, who knows the ruling, and then speaks in salah, what is the ruling of his salah? Batila. Bil ijma. The one who forgets, and the one who does not know at all, their salah is ja'iza maqbula, inshallah. Their salah is allowed. And then someone makes the slim to us while in salah. How do we respond? We make ishara. There are over four companions reporting how the Prophet used to respond when you make the slim to him during salah. It means that it's something that is common, well known amongst companions. Rabbi Allahu anhum, that you could make the slim to a person that is performing salah and he will respond. He won't say, wa alaykum salam. They used to respond verbally, wa alaykum salam, before. And then Allah stopped them from doing that. I hope that these points are clear, inshallah. We'll stop here for today, please. Ameen wa antum fajazakumullahu khairah. We'll stop here. There are other issues. This is walish tigalu bima alaysa min hako. Getting busy with things that are not part of salah. Like food. Like eating food. Is it part of salah? No. Somebody can be eating this salah. He was eating groundnut. When he got there, he said, I have wudu. And then he comes into the masjid, the groundnut is in his mouth. As Imam is reading, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Oinjanu Paku Paku. Bafalat salat. His salah is invalid. Or somebody drinks and puts water in his mouth while he performs wudu. He came into salah like the Allahu Akbar. And during the salah, he's drinking the water like a camel. His salah is what? Batila. We'll come back to this issue. Or a woman who is praying near her market. Mama, I will do it. This is called what? Alishtigalu bima laysa minha. Getting busy with something that is not part of a salah. When we were younger than these, people used to do it now. When they watch football, they go and pray. They want to pray, they want to watch. They say after all, they said that we should just stand well, so we stand well. But the entirety of his attention is where? Alishtiga Luvima Leisa Minha. There are so many of them. Many ways people get busy with something that is not part of the salah. وَبِتَرْكِ شَرْطٍ أَوْ رُكْنٍ عَمْدًا. Somebody leaves wudu. Wudu is shirt, go. He leaves it deliberately. He said, Allah, Maka, 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 Maka. Some jinns are deceiving him. Awa li janun ta ye. Olo ndi shalalala ti Maka. He does not have wudu. La salah salah. He must make wudu. Our parent is praying, is not facing the Qibla, and the prayer is obligatory. We explained all this when we were discussing Al-Istiqbal al-Qibla. Or somebody is not covering aura, undergraduate. You wear a cloth that is not touching your, that is not covering the entirety of your arm, from your shoulder to your wrist. A woman performing salah, she's now wearing pillow. La salata laha. Chatagududu. Oh, niro. You don't have salah. So don't say, hey, sir, you are not even happy that I came to pray. Are you praying for me? There is another one. People will wear skirts that does not touch and cover the upper part of their feet. Skirt. A woman wears a skirt. Down. So that to be to their knees. You see, say, any you are valid. Allah alone shirt, not you. Allah is the one who gave that condition, not you. Is it him you want to worship? If yes, you must follow his condition. Universities will say, without math and English, they will not take you. You can say, but I have A1 and all the rest of my subjects. What will happen? You are just speaking drama. Allah said, I'm more than you. If you share a message of what? Allah is. Some of them will wear jeans and then they wear a shirt on the jeans. Oh, Nemo can start. You don't have salah. Girl, wear it. If you like to. But if you like a life, you're deceiving yourself. It will be clear to you on the day of Qiyamah. You see, one thing is that people think that when they worship Allah, they are doing favor to Allah. Ah! Only Allah, Allah, no shesi. Man amila salihan. Only nafsi. Wa man asa'a. Fa'alayha. Only Allah, Allah, no shesi. Wa man ya'mal miskala dharatin khairan. Ya rahu. You will see. So if they say worship Allah well, I read something. That's a website called Quora.com. They are usually connected to punch. They are very poisonous. Too. Very poisonous. Yesterday they have an article that somebody is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha and has been praying for 25 years. He now say that, I'm tired of reciting Fatiha since I've been praying for 25 years. They say so. So he wants to say another thing. So I say, ah. They are addressing foolish people. You know why the person they must be addressing must be foolish? If you observe Salah, who told you to pray? Allah. And you want to pray that prayer for him or for yourself? He said, whenever you want to serve me, do like this. And you not tell me, I'm tired of that. If I be and yet. How many people have been on a single work for 35 years before they retire? A government says, sit down here, 35 years. Or 36. And you're on the same job. Can an army officer say, I'm tired of this army cloth? I'm very tired here. You are tired of army cloth? You can't say that. Somebody who comes to Salah willingly. By way of submitting to Allah, not dictating. So the question is a wrong question. Many questions are wrong, people ask. Don't attempt to answer it. Your answer will be wrong.
you are attempt to answer your one question, you give a wrong answer. When we are young in universities, one man philosopher. You know, one man geology, they think they are intelligent. He said, can Allah create a stone he cannot carry? He brought that question to me. I was Imam of a masjid. Can Allah create a stone and he cannot carry that stone? I said that question is a wrong answer. Because if it's a wrong question, if you say yes, it means he can't carry, he can't do something. If you say no, it means he can't create something. It's a wrong question. Don't attempt. Just know that. I know that it's a wrong question. Because in my mind, if Allah will not carry you, you just tell him, move, it will move. And he can create anything. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يُرِيدُ. So, if you say, can Allah create something cannot carry, you are wrong. He can create everything. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ. About his carrying, say, وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يُرِيدُ. So the question is wrong from its two ends. Why do you want to try to tell him, sir, your question is wrong? I'll ask a correct question. Because this question is not correct regarding Allah. So let us be careful regarding all of these. The world is dangerous now. There are a lot of poisons going around, poisoning the minds of people against the Lord of all that exists. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody must be careful. May Allah protect all of us. I think it will suffice to stop here, inshallah. We can ask our questions. We try to answer them as Allah will. Now, I mean one thing for you, that's enough. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Where he asked the Prophet, tell Allah to give me so that his sins will go. I don't know how you will tell Allah to give me now. He didn't say Allah give me. He said, Messenger, tell Allah to give me. Allahu Akbar. And Imam al-Zahabi mentioned that of him in Sirah al-Anbiya. And it's not of that narration is authentic. That Mu'az did that. Likewise, Ubayy ibn Ka'b. It's authentic that they did that. But I don't know after them who did that again amongst ulama. Allahu Akbar. Alayhi salam. Amin wa antum sayyidina. You don't pray there again now. You still pray there. Okay. There's a mosque where you pray. Okay. Okay. Now, I said that so that I can understand what he said. Now, okay, there are a lot of afas there. Which type? Afa sunnah, Abi afa. Afa sunnah is there. Others are there. Okay. You know why there are afa from there? If we can mean, we can understand something else. Now, Tasleem. Okay. As they do in Yoruba land. Alam and salam. Is that what you mean? Okay. I understand. Just go on. Just go. Praying. You now reminded them. They did not, the companions and the Prophet Muhammad. After Taslim, everybody gets busy with his adhkar.
astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. The fourth zikr to say after tasleem is not Allahu Akbaru. That's hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih Muslim that will give you this impression. But it does not mean Allahu Akbar. It has other riwayat that makes us understand, ulama say what he means by Allahu Akbar is that adhkar. Ibn Abbas says, radiyallahu anhuma, when he comes near a masjid and they had finished salah, he would know that they had ended that salah by the takbir, that is by the adhkar people would say in the masjid. Not with one single voice. If you are prayed in the north, very well. If you say at-taslim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum, everybody say, astaghfirullah. This way I say astaghfirullah. This way I say astaghfirullah. You will hear a voice in the mosque. That was what Ibn Abbas was talking about. Not that they were all saying, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, as we do in our locality. So it is wrong to say that. It is wrong to be reciting these azkars in unison. Except someone stands up to teach the rest. He will say, astaghfirullah, everybody will recite after him, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, everybody will recite after him, astaghfirullah. Even these ulama, al-imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah says, after we all know it, they should stop it. And he called a koma, she said, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This is what they should have done. Instead of reciting it together, they are giving the people fish instead of a net. You know the difference? They are giving them fish instead of what? But that fish itself is a poison fish because it's an innovation they are committing. It's a poison fish. May Allah protect us. So they should teach the people what to say. One. Two. The one who says in his salah, Allahumma hajirini minan nar, his salah is batila. Clear cut. The least place you would like to hide under is Salah al-Islahi, yani al-Kalamu al-Islahi Salati. Speech given to make Salah. This is he's talking to people outside Salah. That's another thing he could hide under. That Salah is in Zuhr al-Asr. Or Maghrib. And the recitation is silent. So how did he read aloud? No. I'm querying his actions. I'm not querying you or your question. That is that it is not correct for him to have recited anything aloud. Meaning that what he did was clear-cut speech outside Salah. Clear-cut speech, sorry, during Salah. It's clear just like he was talking to them. Because the ulama used to do some things. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, when he was asked, can somebody observe Salah and speak to somebody? That is, we are in Salah, like we want to correct Imam. They say, no, you must not say anything in Kalamina. But you know, we can recite the Quran to the Imam. He's reciting Surah al-Hadid. He thinks that it's Sari'u ila maghfira, and then he mixes this up. Sari'u is in Al-Imran. Sabiqu is in Surah Al-Hadid. If he mixes it up as it happens, we can correct it. So they say, okay, we can read Quran. And then the hadith of Muawiyah ibn Hakam al-Sulami, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we can read Quran in Salah. But not in sujood. Nor in ruku'. So sometimes the early Muslims, when they are especially doing Nawafi, if you talk to them, they will be reading verses of the Quran that will make you understand what they are saying. Like you want to tell somebody, go to Ruku, you say, Warka'u Marraka'in. He understands, oh, you want me to go to Ruku. That is, you are reading, you are in Salah, and you are reading Quran. You chose to read another place. But this is a direct conversation between himself and the people regarding something that does not have to do with his Salah. It's clear-cut conversation. And what you read is not even a verse of the Quran. I'm just trying to find it a little fairly sassy. But we remove all the roofs. So, it is wrong to do so. It's wrong. It's wrong. Ever say, when you're a farmer, you're a professor. Alaykum salam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hey, when we are on Nawafil, our parents, our mother calls us. They say we should answer. So how do you answer? They didn't say that one. You know that it's a wrong talk. If we say, if you are on Salah, if you make Taslim to you, you can answer. You say like this, Abi. You pay. The same if your mother calls you when you are performing Nawafi, you can answer. Ask them how. They mix two different things together. There was a man called Juraj, and his hadith occurred in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's a long story, but I'll cut it short. Very long story. His mother called him, then he was on Salah. So he continued to end his Salah. Before he responded to the mother, and she was minds up. Her minds went up. And at the third time that she called him, she made a statement that involved the fact that he may have some titan, and he got the signal. But the issue is that that Salah is nafila. It's superlative. For him to answer his mother is compulsory. So what ulama say in that sense is that he can completely exit that Salah, go out of that Salah, and then go and meet your mother. But to say during Salah, Mami Mombao, and he continues, wrong, it's wrong. That Salah is itself batila again. You can stop the Salah because al-mutatawwi'u amiru nafsihi. Al-mutatawwi'u amiru nafsihi. Enton shenafila un amiru alayhi. If he likes, he continues. If he likes, he stops it. Except Hajj and Umrah. If you start Hajj, you must complete it. If you start Umrah, you must complete it because Allah says, wa atimul Hajj wal Umrata lillah. Once you start Hajj, then after the Hajj over the party. That's why when you want to perform Hajj, make shart. Give a shart. How do you give a shart? How do you give a condition? Tell Allah from the beginning why you make your talbiyah to get into ihram. Tell Allah from the beginning. Hadith regarding this is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas. It occurred in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. The individual should make shart. That's the hadith of Ikrima al-Barbari. You should make sure how? Allahumma mahini haythu habastani. Allahumma mahini haythu habastani. Once you say labbaik Allahumma hajjan at the miqat. Labbaik Allahumma umratan at the miqat. Or labbaik Allahumma hajjan on yawm al-tarwiyah, the 8th day of Hajj. When you go back to Ihram, if you are performing Hajj Tamattu, once you say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan, quickly say, Allahumma Mahili Haythu Habastani. Oh Allah, this my Hajj or my Umrah, if you stop wherever you stop me, oh. If you say, what is that? You do see. If any Hajjina and Paris, continue. So if a person felt sick and could not go to Arafah, he is covered. If he could not complete the Umrah, maybe he dies. He's covered. Anything, whatever happens, he's covered. He will have full rewards. Because he already told Allah from the beginning, Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani. Oh Allah, my place of stoppage is wherever you stop me. But people don't like it, especially Yoruba. They say, who told you that one? One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, They just left Arafah. They were going to Muzdalifah. His camel kicked him in the stomach and he died. See what that is, any Ellen? When there is stampede and all of these, if a person makes sure he has completed the Hajj, he will have full rewards of the Hajj. Some people who didn't die, but they got injured and they could not complete the Hajj. They were taken to hospitals. They could not continue. But if you had said, Allahumma mahilli haythu habastani, you are covered. But if you don't say it, a person gets injured and he was taken to the hospital, he could not complete it till the days of Hajj are over, he has to come back next year by compulsion. You must come back and complete it. You are owing Allah, that Hajj or Umrah. Anyway, those people taking us for Hajj and Umrah should be explaining all this. But some people themselves don't know it. Let me say something and stop there. 1 year we are going for Umrah. Hajj. One man is receiving now and he did. He wore Agada. I think they are from Agada. He wore Agada. And Teshuva, one was on his neck. He was holding one. Allahu la ilaha illallah. That's how they came into Muritala. They were on an Emirates flight. We are myself and one of us. But at every stage we were educating our people. At every stage we educated our people. This is what you do here. What we got to do very interesting, he came to us. Say, Afa. They say, no, I went that joy. Wallahi, this man said to me, he said, Afa, it's like you know about this Hajj. He said, I should not tell anybody, as I see him like this, he does not do anything. He said, but Allah has used us to solve his problem. Since we are going to there, he thought that because we flew together, we are going to perform. You may get to Medina, you don't see yourself again. You may get to Mecca, you don't see yourself. Fortunately, you never saw. In fact, when he was saying it, I just right here. So how will he lead his people? And many of the people followed him. Shehu Jai. May Allah protect us. Iru Epo, what you want to see our way, Alana. All those people who paid now to go with him, what kind of Hajj will they make? May Allah protect all of us. Allah protect. It's very common in Yoruba lands. Very, especially in Ibadan and Lagos. Very common. I don't advise anybody you want to pay for Hajj, go to and pay anybody. Don't pay anybody. Look for other people. The first thing you look for when you want to go to Hajj or Umrah, who are those leaders? Because wallahi, wallahi, it's a difficult Hajj to perform without learned people with you. You'll be falling into troubles. You need people to tell you this is what to do. I would have started it, but we are not discussing it today. A year before last year, we were in Muzdalifah for Hajj. We left Arafah, we were Muzdalifah, performing Salatul Isha. We finished, we are on Tahiyyah. Our Imam was using a Fitra. Anybody who knows how Muzdalifah is, you will have found this. One woman was coming. They just passed between our Imam and his sutra. What has happened to our Salah? Our Salah is vacated. One former governor was sitting to my right. He was the one first person to stand up. He stood up. The Imam was still making tahiyah. He went to touch the Imam. What are you doing? So what will we do? Some people say, we are in Tahiyyah now. Is it not just to just make the speech? People started talking. Brother, that Sara'an al-Nas. People who hate things to talk, Toro Bashele. They are usually funny people. They are not protectors. People started talking. There are learned people there. They are the least to talk. They are three brothers. They are very learned people. Bismillah. Three of them. They were silent watching. The Imam himself didn't know what to do. He is also a learned brother, inshallah. But it's not in the category of the other three staying behind him. But he was selected as their Imam. Imam leader. In fact, we call him Imam. Yarhamukallah. So everybody was, the three were watching. Yeah, the other people were talking, politicians and, you know, we are repeating this order. So they know we will not repeat it. Something, you are jahil. The other one said, no, you are not going to start it. So what should we do? Inshallah, we'll discuss it in our next class. So the head of the team, I like it a lot. I wish that I had recorded that talk. The head of the team came and said, Mala, please explain what has happened. Not there. There we just said what we should do. We repent, we observe the Salah again. So on Yawm al-Qarri, the second day, the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, 11th day of Dhul-Hijjah, 11th day of Dhul-Hijjah, Yawm al-Qarri. It is called Yawm al-Qarri because we judge are settled in Mina. Most of the people that make Tawaful Ifadah and all of this, so that 11th day, everybody is settled, tired, sleeping, resting. You say, Malang, you have to explain what has happened. I was asked to explain what happened. I spent 1 hour 15 minutes on that issue alone. Well, today when I was trying to get set to come here, I remember that I wish I recorded that this was a very lengthy. There were learned people there. I wish I recorded that discussion. And there were no books. You don't have books with you. So you have to look for yourself discussing the issue. It was a very interesting discussion. A judge, a high court judge came and said, Kai, you made me feel that Islam is very intellectual today. Because the issue is very intellectual, very, very technical issue. We are coming to it. Imam Shawkani did not mention it. He cannot have to walk with the lady in Waji Watadan King or Oban Waje. He will be in Tuti Balaga. Kete Kete, Atia Jabibu. A woman that is matured, a donkey, and a black dog. What am I just saying? That when you go for Hajj, many things will be happening that are not part of Hajj. You need learned people to help you resolve the matter. Otherwise, you feel it. Hajj is a lawyer. There's somebody, a former commissioner in somewhere around here. He went for Hajj, he came back. He came to me and said, Kat Mala. This is my fifth Hajj, but I'm thinking that this is the first one. Wallah, he said, the ones we have been performing, those are fast, they have misled us. He said, but although we don't read the Quran, we don't read the Hadith as you are saying, but you make us feel that, yes, we are really performing Hajj. Our mind itself tells us the Hajj. If you want to pay for any Hajj team, ask for their leader first. I want you to pay me. So I do it sooner. Now, if you don't know them, find out. If you find out, you can't know that, look for another team. Don't go with a team that does not have learned people with them. Hajj is difficult without learned people. I used to say, can you say, state governments are telling you to say, if they don't send the people, the 1,700 they gave us, they will not be able to perform Hajj. Unless they have learned people among those 1,700. They will not be able to perform Hajj. They will not. Ask anybody, Hajj is not learned people. It's trouble. Except those who just want to do it. So when you can't do it, you have stolen it. So when they say we should do it. But someone who wants to consciously perform Hajj, you need learned people in your group. I think it will suffice that we stop here today. Bismillah, we'll continue in our next class. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We started with Salah and ended with Hajj, go? No.